when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all you precious Blood River Radio family. Lord have mercy, we love y'all so much. Man, I've got chills almost every single show that we do when I come into this microphone. No matter how crappy the week has been, no matter how depressed I get or high, no matter what happens, when it comes Saturday to get on this show right here, I get chills and I'm ready to do battle again with the Satan. And that's who we fight against. We have a fight against Satan. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You're listening to Blood River Radio. We pride ourselves. We are the only radio show in the United States, probably in the entire world, where our flagship issue, it will never change as long as I have anything to do with Blood River, is fighting against global white genocide. The program has been in existence for several hundred years. It really started cranking up, in the Lincoln's War against the South, and it really got hot during the First World War. But people, that's what we do, and we've got some other people on tonight that, and it plays directly into white genocide. And we have a super, superstar guest coming on, and we'll get to him just a minute. I'm going to let him introduce himself. But people, as you know, if you've been listening to Blood River Radio very long, you know what we do. The first thing right off the bat, we always go to the Lord in prayer. So people, even if you're not a Christian, if you don't mind, please bow your head just to show some respect to our radio show and our listeners out there. Most of our listeners, I assume, probably Christians. So if you will, bow your head. Almighty God, Almighty Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like we always say here, the God who just spoke this world into existence. None of the elements in the periodic table in the chemistry lab ever even existed until Almighty God spoke them into existence. And Lord, also, people, we know that God created this earth as perfectly. Man, in his sin nature, sinned and screwed up. Messed it up in the Garden of Eden. So in order to rescue man from himself, to rescue people from death, from hell, which we all truly deserve, none of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, quote, that's one of the Romans wrote. So God knew in his wisdom, the only thing he could do to save us was the best thing he wanted to do. He sent his son, his only son, Jesus Christ Almighty, to the earth. And he suffered and died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He paid the sin price for all of us. So all you have to do to get out of your sin ways, to defeat death, is you have to, if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus is the Son of God, you shall be saved. That's not Eddie Miller talking. That's not the Bombardier talking. That is Scripture. And Lord, if you will, look down upon Blood River Radio tonight, Liberty News Radio. Protect all of our precious guests, all of our listeners. And Lord, let us always try to do with this radio show, let us try to do your will. And Lord, as long as we do that, I'm sure you'll bless us. And ask all this in your son's name, your precious son, Jesus Christ, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. Amen. Well, tonight, people, I'll give you a quick rundown of the show. I'll give you the second hour first. The second hour, we're going to have you-know-who, Gene, the Bitter Ender, the combat Marine Vietnam. He's going to be coming on the second hour with a fellow, Walter Patton, and they're going to be talking about the connection of University of Mississippi to the old Confederacy. That's coming on the second hour. The first hour right now, I'm going to bring on our dynamite guest, and Mr. Lee, tell the audience, if you will, your name and a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. As you mentioned, my name's Lee. I'm Lee Wilson. I'm a licensed Georgia private investigator. Been in business for about 12 years as a private investigator. But before that, I was a law enforcement professional for almost 25 years, most of it doing investigative work. And I've done, been in law enforcement or investigative work since I was 18 years old, 45 years. Spent most of my career, investigating all manner of everything from bicycle thefts to multiple homicides, both for the prosecutors and now for defense attorneys.
Well, it sounds like you've been on both sides of the fence of the law, like you say, the law enforcement and the prosecution and the defense. So that's about a well-rounded career to qualify you as an expert in law, as I could possibly understand. Well, in case some of our listeners out there have been, as the old cliche says, living under a rock and have not been listening to this show, and they don't know about the travesty of the McMichaels situation with Greg and Travis McMichael, the father and son duo, and their neighbor, Brian Williams, they were just absolutely railroaded in prison. And so I'm going to shut up because I'm just reminding our people who we've got on. This is Mr. Lee Wilson has worked. You've worked with the McMichaels from day one, didn't you, Mr. Lee?
Yeah, I got brought into this case not long after their arrest. I was contacted by Jason Sheffield. Jason is one of the four attorneys that was involved in representing Travis and Greg during the state prosecution. I'd done work for Jason and his law firm previously and had a good relationship with him. And they were, Jason and his law partner, Bob Rubin, represented Travis. Frank and Laura Hogue, a couple out of Macon, Georgia, well-respected defense attorneys, were representing Greg. And I was honored to get asked to join the team as to be the investigator for both defense teams.
Yes, sir. Now, if you will, a lot of our listeners already know, but I'm sure we pick up new listeners all the time. If you will, Mr. Wilson, I'll just call you Lee because, by the way, people, Lee is a fellow runner. Everybody and his mama that listens to this show knows that I'm a runner, a big-time runner. I just got through doing a little 14-mile today, going to do the Nashville Marathon next month. But anyway, Mr. Lee is also a career runner, and we clicked on that. On that issue, Mr. Lee, if you will, give the listeners a brief timeline of when this case with Greg and Travis McMichael and Brian Williams, when it came upon the scene.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me explain to your audience. One of the reasons I'm here now is I realized early on when I knew the background of the case and the facts that led to the tragedy on February 23rd, 2020, because it was a tragedy. There's no mistake about it, but it is not murder. But the events that led to that if it would have happened in where I live in South Georgia, and I knew what Greg and Travis knew, the totality of the events, as I call it, I would have done exactly what they did. And I think most good Americans, solid citizens, people that care about their community, their neighborhoods, would have understood that. Now, there's thousands of people that Monday morning quarterback their decision to arm themselves and go try to detain a gentleman that had been seen on camera and at a house he didn't belong, having a right being there, and all the things that have been put out there by mainstream media to judge this. But the truth is, they did what most good neighbors, people, I believe, would do. I know what I would have done. And if that happened in my neighborhood, I would have been there. And that's where I identified with this case. And that's one of the reasons I've stuck with it so hard and continue trying to speak about it and lobby to get the true narrative of what occurred out there. Eddie, if you'd like, I can go directly into, you know, a little bit about the case, whatever's best with you.
I think that'd be great. I'd also like to voice what you said. I have a letter here that Mr. Buddy sent me, one of our best friends and big supporters. Came from the office of the district attorney, Waycross Judicial District, I think Mr. George E. Barnhill. I think he was probably the second district attorney. But in this letter right here, Lee, he said what you said. He outlined every single law in Georgia that gave these people, Greg and Travis, the rights to do what they did. He said they broke no law. I'm just saying that to, you can maybe go into that later on what you want to, but if you will, please do, please. We're getting ready to go to a break probably in about 90 seconds, but if you will, Mr. Lee, please take off and tell us a little bit about, start telling us about the case.
Well, after getting a call from Jason, I had heard nothing about the case, although I understood it had been posted worldwide by then. The video had been released, which Greg McMichael, incidentally, was responsible for releasing, because his belief was that people see that video, they would understand that his son was simply defending himself. It was not meant to be released for any other purpose other than he believed, like I believe, after reviewing it, that Travis was defending himself from an assault, a man that was trying to take the gun away from him to do God only knows what.
Yes, sir. Lee, we have to go to our first break. That's that break I warned you about. We will go to a quick break. As soon as we come right back, I have to announce our donors that I've neglected the first segment, and I apologize for that, but we'll go right back to you after this break. People, hold on. We have Mr. Lee Wilson. He's the private detective who worked with the McMichael case in Georgia from the get-go. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, I forgot to do one thing. I didn't thank our donors on the first segment because I was so excited about this show. But anyway, listen, we have Frank White, and he knows who I'm talking about. Frank White, I forgot to mention him last week. He let me know, but anyway, Frank White, he's one of our solid supporters. He never fails to support us, and we have Hank the Sasquatch, the old Sasquatch down there in Florida. His wife had been she'd been having this really weird It's probably some super ventricular tachycardia or something, the way he described it to me. But she'd been having some really weird symptoms down there. But just keep her in your prayers. Just pray for Hank the Sasquatch's wife. God knows who you'll be praying for. And we also have Ken in New York. Bless his heart. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed because he's been such a rock solid donor. But I'd like to thank every single one of our donors. Like I was telling our guests during the break, without the donors, there would be no Liberty News Radio. There would be no Sam Bushman. There would be no Eddie Biller. There would be no Cam. I mean, we'd be out, you know, picking taters or something. But that's the way that goes. Anyway, people, we have Mr. Lee Wilson on the private detective. He's been in law enforcement and detective work for years and years and years. He's been a cop, too. So he's telling us about, in case you just tuned in, he's telling us about the McMichael case, Greg and Travis McMichael and Brian Williams, who they were wrongly convicted down in Georgia. For the shooting death of that Ahmaud Arbery. So, Mr. Lee, if you will, go right back to where you left off before the break.
Sure, Eddie. Well, as I said, Jason called me and asked me if I'd heard about the case, and I had not. I was actually within Jacksonville when I got the call. My sister was receiving some medical treatment down there, and I accompanied her, but told me a little bit about the case, said it was going to be a bit high profile. There'd been some media coverage, but, again, I quit watching mostly the mainstream media years ago because obviously I question a lot of the truthfulness of things that are put out in this day and time that we live. But nonetheless, Jason asked me to consider being the investigator on the case. I knew nothing else other than the name. I'd never met Travis Brad McMichael, but I knew these guys, these attorneys were top notch. It was a joy to work with them on any case, an honor to. I said, sure, I'll jump in. The first thing I did was looked at the video. Now, I do things a little bit different. I don't read news articles about it. I'm a fact investigator. All I deal with is facts and evidence. I don't create evidence. I don't turn evidence in one way or another. I'm not out here to get people out of charges. I don't have nothing to do with guilt or innocence. I report facts. I'm a fact investigator. That's what I view myself. So what I did is I took the video and cut out all the noise. And when I say the noise, by then the video had been released and Greg had made egregious error in hindsight. He thought people would see it in a way that obviously it wasn't portrayed. It was portrayed as if Ahmaud was simply enjoying a Sunday afternoon run in a predominantly white neighborhood when two racist white men took their guns, hunted him down, and gunned him down in the street. That has been essentially the narrative since the beginning. There's another narrative that's equally true but has never been put out there. And that narrative would have been twice convicted felon with mental health issues killed after a struggle over a shotgun. Those words would be 100% true, but that story never got put out there. So these gentlemen were convicted based, in my view at least, on mainly a false narrative. But back to my part, I looked at the video, and we've all seen the video. It's horrendous. You see a man get killed on it. You know, it's certainly not something that is fun to watch, or at least from my view. I've seen a number of deaths over the years, and it's never something I relish in seeing somebody getting killed. He was 25 years old. You know, he for whatever reason, he made the decision to go left instead of right, as I call it, that day. But if you take that video and you don't know anything else about it, you know nothing about the case, you just have that video. If you watch that video, you'll see a young man running down the road in a resident, appears to be a residential neighborhood. There's a truck ahead of him. You can vaguely see somebody standing in the bed of that truck, and you can vaguely, on the left-hand side of the screen, you can see a man standing outside the truck. That's about all you can tell unless you take software and you enhance the video or zoom in or whatever you want to call it. Take that video and know nothing. That's all you see until Ahmad gets to the right front of that truck and darts to the left. And of course, you hear the sounds of the gun going off. And the first time I watched the video, I thought there was only two shots. As it turns out, it was three. I did figure that out pretty quickly. But the first time I watched it, the first two shots happened fairly close together. And I believe there was two shots. Nonetheless, I then took the video and did a frame-by-frame analysis of it. And what caught me was not the shooting itself, but leading up to the shooting. It's one thing that if you take that video and if you analyze it frame by frame, you'll see Ahmad going down the middle of the road, and there's a center line on that road, and he crosses back and forth over that center line. And in my view, he was deciding at that point which way he was going to go at Travis. Now, I knew nothing about his mental health issues at that time. I knew nothing about him being on Larry English's property and being caught on video. I knew nothing about his background. I knew nothing about Travis McMichael. I knew nothing about Greg McMichael. That's all I knew was that video. But I watched the video. I broke it down frame by frame. And what I saw was self-defense when the shooting occurred. If you do it frame by frame, you'll see that contrary to what some would have you think, is that the first shot was fired at a distance of anywhere from 6 to 8 feet. In reality, it was about 2 to 3 inches. It's consistent with Travis's statement saying that he was on the gun when he first shot fired. But what other people you don't see also until you do it frame by frame is the number of blows that Travis suffered by during the struggle by Ahmad to overpower him and take that shotgun. Travis was trained in the Coast Guard in firearms retention. He's an honorable young man that served his country. He had a high-level security clearance at Kingsland Base, where he was working as a civilian when this occurred. He'd never been in trouble in his life. His dad was retired after 30 years of law enforcement without a single blemish on his record as far as civilian complaints. That's unheard of. I mean, I know police officers who get a complaint a week, and Greg had zero complaints from the public during his distinguished career. But none, I digress. You know, the video, in my view, and if you do it frame by frame, shows Ahmad make a sudden turn to the left with the intent to overpower Travis and take that shotgun from him. Now we know today that Ahmad suffered from schizoaffective disorder. And I encourage your listeners, if you know nothing about schizoaffective disorder, you go look it up. It's a mental health disease. But Ahmad's had a special characteristic to it. And this is all things that have come out, but the judge would not allow during the trial. But his featured features of his disease was that he had auditory hallucinations at times that told him to rob and hurt people. And this is a diagnosis he had received a year and a half or so prior to this incident. And the reason he received this diagnosis, the reason he was evaluating in the first place, is his mother was very concerned about his behavior, could not control him. She had called 911 on him herself. He had had multiple encounters with other people, including law enforcement people, where he was combative, belligerent, just very difficult to deal with. But his own mother went to his probation officer and pleaded for help for him. And the probation officer, because he was on probation, had the right to ask for a mental health diagnosis. He sent him to the local mental health facility. They diagnosed him with schizoaffective disorder with these auditory hallucinations that told him to rob and hurt people.
Lee, that's a good place to break. We have to go to another commercial break, and we'll be right back. Dear Blood River Radio people, please don't go anywhere, because we're listening to Mr. Lee Wilson, the private detective who worked on the Greg and Travis McMichael case in Georgia. We'll be right back.
Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden from Warsaw pledging his support for Ukraine. He's also rallying the world to support the country who has been invaded by Russia.
Let us resolve to put the strength of democracies into action to thwart the designs of autocracy. Let us remember that the test of this moment is the test of all time.
The speech comes as Russia is signaling that it is implementing a new strategy in its invasion of Ukraine. But Special Advisor at the White House National Security Council, Matthew Miller, tells ABC's Good Morning America that the Biden administration is not focused on Russia's words.
We always wait to see what Russia actually does, not just take for granted what it actually says, because from the beginning of this conflict, they have never been honest about their aims.
Miller adds that while the U.S. was warning of a Russia invasion, the Kremlin accused America of fear-mongering. This is USA Radio News.
Hey friends, John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energize Health. Come on, you've heard about us on Newsmax Television, on Wayne Allen Root. We have helped tens of thousands of people all across America and around the world to lose fat, to reverse every disease you can imagine. High blood pressure, diabetes, Meniere's disease, arthritis. Come on, you can get healthy this year. And because you're associated with WAR, you get a 40% discount. Are you kidding me? We only do that because we love Wayne Allen Root and he loves you. So you just have to take an action step. Be a beautiful, beloved skeptic, but go log on to energizehealth.com. Look at testimonials just like you. Do your research. Listen to Dr. Brian Taylor. Log on energizehealth.com and change your life in 2022.
The Biden administration is calling for tougher sanctions against North Korea. Pyongyang test-fired its biggest intercontinental ballistic missile to date. Kim Jong-un said his country is preparing for what it called a long-standing confrontation with the United States. The call for sanctions happened during Friday's meeting of the UN Security Council. The Assembly of First Nations in Canada is expecting nothing less than a public apology from the Vatican. This after last year's discovery in British Columbia of about 200 unmarked and previously undocumented graves of children at what was Canada's largest indigenous residential school. A meeting between the First Nations and Vatican is set for next week. Indigenous children were forced to go to state-funded Christian schools through the 1970s. Tyree Sampson, who died on an amusement ride in Florida late Thursday, is being remembered. The 14-year-old fell to his death on the Orlando Freefall at Icon Park. The ride had only been in operation for a few months. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, we've been having a conversation during the break, and it's just criminal and sad what that judge did down there in Georgia to these great people, Greg and Travis McMichael, and also Brian Williams. But before we go back to our great guest, I think Mr. Buddy has a comment. Mr. Buddy's on the line. Mr. Buddy, we bring him on. He has been instrumental in having Blood River Radio get into this case. We have really honed in on it. And Mr. Buddy has laid all the groundwork to get Blood River Radio in on this. So, Mr. Buddy, what did you have? You had a comment, I believe, or a question for our guest.
Well, okay, Eddie. First, I want to say I certainly do appreciate what you are doing. It's one of the greatest things where we can get out to people with this miscarriage of justice that we have just witnessed. And you mentioned judge's action during the court proceedings, and from the number of things he said and did, as you said, he was more like a member of the prosecutor's team. He even held a minute of silence during the proceedings for this Ahmed fella. And I was wondering if Mr. Wilson could tell us, I'm sure the judge's actions or comments were recorded. Is there any way that man can be brought before the Bar Association and disbarred? He needs to be kicked off the bench. What do you think about that?
Well, Mr. Buddy, obviously I'm not an attorney and certainly have no input on whether a judge is disciplined by the Bar Association or the Georgia Supreme Court, I think, takes actions against any judges. But he made some rulings that I believe the defense, well, I know that we disagree with. We put on a case that was based on two things. One, Georgia citizens arrest law as it stood on February 23rd, 2020. And after the trial and before the closing arguments, we have, which you have in every trial, a charge conference. And that's where the judge gets with the prosecution and the defense and makes a determination on what how he's going to charge the jury as to the law. In this case, our whole trial had been around a couple of things because he had ruled before trial that we could not use any of Ahmad's past. There were a number of bad character things that we could have used, but the judge, it's called 404B evidence, it ruled that it was inadmissible because the McMichaels did not know about it at the time. And that is actually current Georgia law on that. You can't bring up somebody's past, a victim's past, in a criminal trial unless the defendant knew it at the time. However, our case is, you know, to explain to the jury, the mental health issue was central to what we needed the jury to understand. And the judge issued a pretrial ruling that we could not use it. So it never came in into evidence. And I think, again, it explains exactly why he went left instead of right. But back to your question, the judge gave this at the pretrial, at the charge conference. He took the Georgia citizens arrest law and worded it in a way that allowed the prosecutor during her closing arguments to basically say, if they did not have probable cause on February 23rd, 2020, to arrest Ahmad, they don't even get to the self-defense argument because it was our argument was twofold. We had a right for a citizen under the citizen arrest law to detain Ahmad that day. Second, we had the right to defend ourselves when Ahmad charged at Travis. The judge said in his charge to the jury that they had to decide whether Greg and Travis had probable cause on February 23rd, 2020. Everything that they knew that day was based on previous encounters, the videos, but nothing was present on February 23rd. We have to concede that. Greg saw him running down the road, that's it, that day. But he knew all this other stuff leading up to that. And the judge charged the jury that their probable cause had to be fresh. It had to be February 23rd. So the prosecutor then in turn argued to the jury that they could not even consider, they should not consider self-defense because if we didn't have it, you can't pick a fight and then claim self-defense, essentially was her words. So your question about the judge, I mean, the jury convicted him. That's what the appeals court's for. You know, we're trying desperately to raise money for an appeal. This is a travesty of epic proportions. As far as the judge, there was a lot of rulings. We tried this case in an environment that was nothing short of a circus. We had people trying to get on the jury. The defense attorney or the family attorney for the Arbery family put out a tweet, and we've got screenshotted, that basically told the potential jurors, remember this, if you're on jury duty, is remember these words, I can be fair and impartial. We had people that were trying to get on the jury. They changed their social media pages. They wiped them clean of prior connections to this case, prior marches they had been in. They, you know, but there were no repercussions. We were able to keep several people off the jury that basically were less than truthful during their questioning because we'd screenshotted their social media pages and things in advance of the trial. But then you had armed people marching outside of the courthouse on the perimeter of the courthouse on the streets with weapons throughout, with bullhorns that you could hear inside the courthouse. It was the most bizarre atmosphere that I've ever seen the trial court case in. we had civil rights leaders showing up in court that were, you know, they had every right to be there, but the media circus that it drew with it and the distractions, it was just a shame. These men were not given a fair trial. They were not afforded justice by our country, and our only hope is an appeal at this point.
You know, what you told me about the way that judge and that prosecutor just absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, they created law on the spot, which is really a color of law. What they did was not law at all. It's just fixing that trial, and I'm not an attorney either. But I have a question. You know, I've been told that there's been at least one lady juror who sat on the jury, and correct me if I'm wrong, she actually said that she voted guilty because she was intimidated so much. She was scared for her life and scared for, my words, all a quote, all hell breaking loose, unquote, if Greg and Travis and Brian were not convicted, there was threats they're going to, actual threats on the judge, on the jurors, on the defense, threats on everybody. You said yourself there were weapons outside the courthouse. I've been told that there was people marching with weapons, with semi-automatic long guns, shotguns, AR-type weapons in the neighborhoods. To your knowledge, Mr. Lee, did one of the jurors state that the reason she voted guilty was because she felt intimidated?
There's some information out there that some of the jurors believe that anything but a guilty verdict would create civil unrest in the community, and you know, that by what I could tell outside the courthouse and the streets and the activities going on during the trial, I think that was a real possibility. You know, all the way through, it took us 2.5 weeks during jury selection to pick a jury. We debated every single day, you know, whether venue, we needed to keep venue there. But we were at that time, I don't know that we could have tried this case at the North Pole and we'd have gotten a different verdict with the atmosphere outside the courthouse, the threats, the bullhorns, the people walking around. So you had to have blinders. The jury was not sequestered, but even when they were, if they would have been sequestered, what was going on outside the courthouse carried over into the courtroom or in the jury room where they were sitting. I mean, there's just no doubt that there was substantial behind the scenes things going on. Media from around the world had access to it. The trial was carried on television live. You know, there wasn't to my knowledge, there was very little said pro defense in this case. Everyone presented, everything that was presented by media played it out as Ahmaud was a victim here. And, you know, it's a shame he's dead, but, you know, there is an officer from Burke County that told him 2 years before on video, sneaking around, going and looking at people's yards and in the property could cause him to get shot. There's a recording of that.
Mr. Wilson, we have to go to our final break this hour. This has been one of the hottest shows we've had. We'll be right back here. We're going to go right back to you after the break. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're listening to Mr. Lee Wilson, and we come back. We got to ask him there's a website up. Don't let me forget that, Mr. Lee, when we come back. People, hold on your seats. Be right back.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Oh, dear Blood River family, listen, this is a riveting interview, and you know what? It's worse than a horror story. Keep in mind, folks, in my opinion, this is the Bombardier's belief. We have no law in this country anymore. There is no law for white men, not for white women, especially for white men. We are hunted in the court. Well, you see what happened in this case. What's happened in this case is kind of endemic, a microcosm of what's going on all over the United States, all over the world to white people. But we're going to go right back to Mr. Lee. And before I ask him the questions about, he mentioned some two experts during the break, that were not denied, the evidence, the evidence that the defense team was denied to be presented. Our defense team, they have to pay those bills anyway. But before we go to that, Mr. Lee, if you will, tell the people out there how they can get to the website, how they can donate to this entire effort, because, like you say, you haven't been paid, the attorneys haven't been paid. Go ahead, tell them exactly what you said, if you can remember what you told us during the break, Mr. Lee.
Sure. Well, to your listeners, we are creating it. It's a work in progress. I'm involved in trying to help create a website that will put the truth out there as to everything that occurred leading up to and including through the trial and the conviction, beginning with background on Ahmaud, dating back to 2012, when the first documents we have about his behavior and actions, gang activity, pictures of him being throwing gang signs, getting hit in the head with a baseball bat during the gang fight. We have all that. But as far as the website, if your listeners will go to mcmicheltrial.com, that's M-C-M-I-C-H-A-E-L, trial, T-R-I-A-L.com, you'll see that we've begun a website that's going to, I will be adding to it, explaining the truth behind this case. We'll also, there's a link there that we would love for people to go to donate funds. Ms. McMichael and Mr. McMichael were salt of the earth. They were working class people. Mr. McMichael's Social Security has been yanked out from under him. He earned that money, but it's been taken now that he's convicted. He can't draw it, so his wife will have to work until she dies. She's a registered nurse, but you know, they rented their home. They were just working folks. It took everything they got to get to the trial, and they still, from the first trial, have about $75,000 worth of debt. And that just comes from expenses. Myself, the attorneys, and paralegals, we were in Brunswick for this trial for about 5 weeks total, hotel expenses. But the biggest expense came about trial preparation. We hired two experts, a forensic psychologist who evaluated everything about Ahmaud's past dating back that we had access to, his mental health records, his behaviors, encounters with law enforcement, with citizens. There is a a series, maybe 12 to 15 instances beginning in 2013, leading up to February 23rd, where you can see the progression in his behavior, his agitation with people, his just his overall disdain for anybody that questioned him. I mean, it's almost like a you could see this forthcoming. And again, he can't help it. He had mental health, but it was well known within his family that he had mental health disease. But we hired a forensic psychologist to testify at trial. The judge ruled that testimony was not allowed. That's going to be paramount that we're going to be bringing that up during the appeal. The other person we had hired, well, there was two of them. In fact, we hired a crime scene reenactment person to do the crime scene. We chose not to call that person because the evidence that it alleged that Travis stood over Ahmaud and used the N-word was absolutely not true, and the state knew it, yet it put it out there in the preliminary hearing. So we did not need that person. But we also had a use of force expert, and the purpose of that was Travis testified that he reverted to his training when handling that shotgun, the gun retention. Well, we intended to put a use of force expert up to corroborate Travis's statements about holding the gun, why he held it this way, the threat assessments and so forth. All the things that Travis actually testified to would have been supported by this use of force expert, which we had hired, which is a trained person that's been qualified by other courts in the field. The judge decided that that was irrelevant. We could not use the use of force expert to testify and corroborate Travis's training experience. So the jury basically was left with Travis's word about this training experience. And of course, naturally the prosecutor basically, in their presentation of the case said, you don't have any support. Travis says this, but how do you know this is true? Well, that's why we had an expert, but the judge refused us to allow the expert to be heard. So there was a lot of expenses that we could not, we bore in getting ready for this trial that, we paid. But, that's why we have such a substantial amount outstanding before you even get to the appeal process.
That's one of the most, depressing stories I've ever heard. That prosecutor seems like she was just throwing, salt on a wound when you had an expert there, a use of force expert. But yet the judge denied that testimony to be given, and then the stinking prosecutor to throw it in their face and say, "Well, you're not an expert." I mean, that's just incredible. Mr. Lee, how much is it going to cost? The cost is really going. What we need is a fat cat millionaire. If we have any listening out there. What's the cost of the appeal going to, how are you going to do that? I mean, that's got to be astronomical to get an appeal going. How much money is that going to cost to get the appeal going?
Well, back to trying to raise the money, let me tell you, we've finally been able to find a website that will allow this donation, process of accepting donations to be made. The McMichaels, and I wasn't involved in trying to raise money for the first trial. I was too busy. I got involved after the trials. But none of the social media platforms out there that we knew at the time would allow them to post a fundraiser. And they said it called it too controversial. And I want to comment, though, that the Arbery family raised, that we know of, $2 million, though, during this time. For themselves, people donated about $2 million to that family, but we weren't allowed to raise money for the defense. So, to answer your question, we found GiveSendGo. I know nothing about these fundraising platforms other than there's several of them, but GiveSendGo is a Christian-based fundraising platform that doesn't discriminate. It says, raise money if you can, whatever your cause is, and they've been gracious enough to host it. We are about $21,000, but it's probably going to cost 10 times that because we've got two defendants. You have to file an appeal for both of them, both of them. And now you've got the federal trial we've got to appeal. We tried to represent them. When I say we, the defense attorneys in the state case, asked to represent these gentlemen in the federal field, but the federal judge appointed attorneys from that jurisdiction in the Southern District of Georgia to represent them in the federal trial. So we weren't involved in that, although I was on the peripheral involved in helping a little bit, but mine was more supporting the family throughout that.
I have another question. Some of our listeners have been calling. We have one of our supporters. She literally calls every single representative in the state of Georgia, every United States representative. In your opinion, Mr. Lee, is that a worthwhile task to call these representatives? I mean, it couldn't do any harm, but do you have any experience with that? And does that pan out? Does that help any?
I have never been involved in the political end of anything. I've always kept my nose. I'm a fat guy. If it's black or white, it's black or white. I certainly don't think it hurts, but the absurdity of this thing is the state of Georgia has now made a holiday, a Mount Arbery Day, February 23rd, 2020. And, it's based on pure falsehood that he was a jogger just jogging in that neighborhood. There is not one resident of Satillia or that saw Ahmaud Arbery jogging in that neighborhood on a regular basis, ever. No one had ever seen him jogging in that neighborhood. Yet the narrative is that he jogging in a white neighborhood, and these men just did not want him there, and they hunted him down, gunned him down, and then rebelled at the end of it, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Ahmaud was running from that day because he knew the police were on the way. He knew he was on probation. He knew that he had been in that house several times on video, and he had gotten away each time. And what his motive, what he planned to do or what he was going to do, who knows? We never talked to him. But his actions during that 4 or 5 minutes before the fatal shooting are very consistent with somebody with mental health disease, which we now know Ahmaud suffered from.
We're just about out of time, but I would just like to make quick, you don't have to comment back on it, but I was, I've also heard that the Georgia Attorney General and, the other high buckety bucks in the state have come after the district attorneys. I believe there was 3 district attorneys involved originally in the area where Greg and Travis McMichael lived. And so since they didn't, I think Ms. Johnson, I think they actually arrested her because they said she didn't act fast enough to arrest these people. But Mr. Lee, we're just almost out of time. Is there anything you would like to add that you haven't brought forth so far?
Well, regarding Jackie Johnson, I don't know her. She did zero in this case. She referred it out immediately. She never spoke to Greg McMichael about it. Greg did call and leave a voicemail that day. They never spoke. She is being railroaded equally. Mr. Barnhill did his diligence. I will tell you this. I don't know what the Linn County Police Department told Ahmaud's mother. She went on Sean King's media outlet and said that she knew that the story of him burglarizing that day was not true because he knew better than steal during the daytime. And I have that recording. That will be on the website.
That is incredible. Mr. Wilson, unfortunately, we're completely out of time, but hopefully we can. I hope you can stay in touch with me. I'll stay in touch with you. We will get updates. And also, we'll keep this case alive as much as we can. And anybody who would like to get further information, would like to ask questions, Mr. Lee, you can send me an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I will get that information to our guest. Thank you so much, Mr. Lee, for coming on. I would say it's been a pleasure, but unfortunately, it's been so sad to hear what's going on there. But thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Buddy. But people, you heard it. There is no law and justice, no equal protection under the law for white people in the United States of America. And we're going to transition to the second hour, so we'll be right back.